Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Robert Sarles, CEO for Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. The company trades on NASDAQ. Ticker symbol is RMCF. Thanks for joining us today, Rob.
Thanks, Juan, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. So can you please start out there by providing a intro and overview of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are America's number one chocolate and candy store as ranked by Newsweek. And that award was given to us this May, but that's something that just recognized something the company's been doing for a very long time. So we operate over 150 standalone chocolate shops throughout the United States and some other parts of the world. We also operate a bunch of co-branded stores where we sell Rocky Mountain chocolate in addition to ice cream. And that's a partnership we do with Cold Stone Creamery. And then we've also got some legacy business with the yogurt business. We operate 60 standalone yogurt stores. Some are co-branded. So we have over 320 locations. And the company's been around for over 40 years. It was founded by a man named Frank Crail. And his first generation move was very exciting in terms of expanding the chocolate universe to lovers of chocolate everywhere in the country and around the world. Today, we're a far different company. We've got all new senior leadership, and we're looking to modernize and make efficient this lovingly 40-plus year company. Get it more into the 21st century from an operation standpoint, as well as a consumer relevance standpoint.
Yeah, great. And so can you bring us up to speed there on some of the most recent news as you just put out your, you know, fiscal Q2 and, you know, fiscal year results, as well as add some additions to your, you know, management?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I've only been in the seat a little more than 5 months. So I joined in May. Our CFO joined in early August. In late September, we added a new VP of sales. And in late September, I added as a senior advisor, somebody with a decade plus experience with the Hershey Company on the operations and supply chain side of the house. So what I've really been spending time on is not fighting the old wars, though we seemingly are doing some of that in terms of legacy leftover from proxy situations, both this past year and in prior years. But I'm really focused on transforming the business and getting it to a point where it should be performing quite efficiently. So this company used to have an EBITDA margin well in excess of 20%. And I don't see any reason why that's not something we can't work towards. But we're taking 10 years of what I would call laissez-faire management and trying to bring that up to speed as quickly as possible. So we've got really three major initiatives. We've got a plant that's underutilized. We've got a franchise system that needs more tender, loving care so that they can sell more. And then we've got a plant that really needs a fair bit more attention in terms of being able to maximize opportunity to sell premium chocolate, not only to our franchisees, but to other forms of customers in the retail marketplace.
Right. In terms of the recent appointment, that's to deal with, you know, some of the supply chain issues in the sector and perhaps, you know, try to amp up your own supply for demand here.
Yeah, it's really to optimize. Our team has done a very good job so far. What we're looking to do, though, is to really maximize the opportunity in terms of making sure that we can avoid some of what happened in the supply chain woes of the last couple of years. But also make sure we're taking advantage of every opportunity to get the best service and or the best price and what's taking care of us. Also, we operate our own fleet of trucks. There's a fair bit of optimization that can be done in how we get product to our stores, when we get product to our stores, and in some cases, who's bringing that product to our stores. The other thing we're looking at is our product portfolio. And much of what our stores sell are made in Durango. That may not necessarily be the case going forward. We may look to add products or do some sort of strategic outsourcing opportunities where others who make things potentially better than us in certain categories can help supply us. My goal, our goal, is to make sure that our franchise stores have the best product array and the highest quality so that they can maximize their sales. That benefits everybody.
Yeah. And so what are some of the key, you know, goals and milestones that you're looking at here over the, you know, from later part of this year, the first half of 2023?
Yeah. So we're going through a strategic planning process, and those things can't be rushed, and you need the people in the seat to help craft the strategy that gets executed. So we're in the process of putting meat on those bones and then finalizing that towards the end of this calendar and more likely the end of our fiscal year, which is in February. But I mean, I would look for, you know, store count on the chocolate side. I would look for sales of chocolate outside of our franchisee network. And I would look at every margin component we have, from plant margin to EBITDA margin. Those are things we're looking to drive. One of the things that, you know, your audience should know is that when I went to work for a company called Sanfilippo, when I came out of Wall Street and joined them, we helped them triple their EBITDA in 3 to 4 years. And a lot of companies that need TLC and greater guidance can achieve that. And I would put Rocky in that category as well.
Right. So, yeah, adjusted EBITDA for the, you know, last quarter was 1 million compared to, you know, 1.6.
Yep.
From, you know, a year prior. Yeah, the revenue of, you know, 7.5, but the, you know, the profit was up and, you know, loss was down. So how are you continuing to, you know, grow? Are you continuing to grow more organically? We look for, like you said, more of these type of, you know, outside franchisee opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty robust pipeline. Winning that award from Newsweek really helped to, you know, increase and validate interest in opening stores with us. So that process continues apace. The loss in the most recently posted quarter, really the bulk of it had to do with things related to our proxy fight situation and impacts from that. The headwinds that we hit in the second quarter were no different than what everybody else hit. You know, high gas, high rent, high inflation, you know, lower discretionary funds for people to spend on treats. And I would say our network held up pretty well. And our franchisees adapted pretty well. So I'm presuming there's some sort of a adjustment into a more stasis period going forward. But one thing I can tell you is we're focusing a lot on new product development and new product introduction, something the company really hasn't done a ton of. And we're looking to put that effort on steroids in the next, you know, 3, 6, 9 months.
Yeah, so when you speak with investors and the financial community, obviously with the Newsweek Award, you got some recognition there. What, you know, do you see that they're seeing what the upside is and what makes you guys unique in the space?
Well, I mean, we're addressing an experience in the store that is very meaningful to our consumers. In retail in 2022, nothing's easy. You have to excite and delight. And so we're addressing that exceedingly well with core customers and with customers that find us, you know, when they're traveling to a vacation destination, going to an airport, going to a casino. We typically enjoy, you know, really great reception from that store experience, both new and repeat customers. So what we're looking to do is enhance that and replicate it. And enhancing it, we're looking at everything from models of how we do our stores going forward, even the franchisee model of how our franchisees make money and interact with us. We're looking at how to make that more harmonious, simpler, and much more lucrative for them and for us. But it's really about that store experience. We're spending a lot of time. I'm visiting with over 50 franchisees within the span of my first 12 months with the company. I'm going to be 40% of the way through at the end of October. And we're really learning a lot about what makes their customers tick and how we can best support them. And we're going to take all those best practices and put it out to the entire network and really up our game. Retail, you've got it. You've got to be sharp. You've got to be very responsive to what's going on. And I am to make us more and more like that in short order.
Right. Well, on one end of the spectrum, you have, you know, retail, you know, customers, and the other end, you have, you know, retail investors. You know, especially with the proxy, are you looking to up your, you know, retail presence, make sure that, you know, there's not so much internal control?
Yeah. So Juan, what's your question getting to?
Well, I'm saying, did you want to add any comments as far as the, you know, what the, you know, the fight is, what the, you know, government, what the management stance is on it?
The management stance is we'd love to put our head down and run the business. And I think a lot of the fighting has been about wars that started several years ago. Our team has got its head down and have all of the things in front of us, from operations to plant management to franchisee operations to R&D to store design to brand revamp. All that stuff is stuff we want to execute on. We don't want to be dealing with these externalities. It's not conducive. It's not constructive. So as much as I can, I'm spending time with my team on executing on that. That's going to, you know, do well for our stockholders, as if we outperform. That's where my head's at.
So can you talk a little bit more, you know, about your background and who the, you know, the key management team is? What's the, you know, relevant experience and your skin in the game?
Yeah, sure. So I've been on the operating side for, you know, almost a decade and a half. Spent my time in the nut space, working with a very large family-controlled, one of the largest nut suppliers on the planet. And that was phenomenal, cutting ground for me to get great experience from culture building to sales and marketing to branding and some operations exposure, to then going to run a Better For You contract manufacturing snack company in Ohio. And again, revamping that culture, repositioning the business towards the better opportunities, and seeing enhanced financial performance as a result of those efforts. And now I've been here for 5 months. Alan Arroyo, our CFO, he's a franchise expert. Great CFA, you know, CFO experience. And he was with Blaze Pizza during a very high ramp up growth period. And that was fantastic in terms of Alan being able to experience, you know, how to accept high growth. And that's something that I don't rule out that we can look for. Andrew Ford, our VP sales and marketing, 20 plus years of branding, sales and marketing experience with small brands, big brands. All CPG, some facing to retail, some facing to alternative channels, and some confection experience. And then Scott Millett, who again, 15 plus years with the Hershey Company in a variety of roles, very knowledgeable about manufacturing, exceedingly intelligent about end-to-end supply chain issues. So we really have a lot of firepower in all the key areas of the business. We've got a couple of ads to make. In the franchising side and the human resources side, but we've got the deck pretty well stacked right now.
So yeah, current share price $6 a share US, market cap slightly south of 40 million. Before we conclude here, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Well, if you look at what held the company back, it was good enough is good enough management, an entrenched board, and an entrenched leadership team. All of those are gone. So there's a new board, there's a new leadership team, and there's a new vision and opportunity to continue to take advantage of and capitalize on being named America's best chocolate and candy shop. The field is ours to continue to take, and we've got the resources and the skills to pull that off. I've got a track record of tripling EBITDAs with companies in 3 to 4 years time once I show up. The people under me have similar excellent track records. And again, you could say this all day long. The company's cash positive and has no debt and has a very strong recognizable brand. So what else do you look for in an investment? But when a company's at an inflection point like this, this requires people to look harder and deeper and to say, why not?
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on the upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Rob, and introduce our investor audience to the company. It was great having you on.
Juan, I appreciate the time, all the great questions, and thank you for spreading the word on Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Appreciate it. Thank you.